Hi, I'm Jen Suliafu, and I'm delighted to be on this journey with you. Life is an exciting game with many twists and turns. It gets really good when we begin to learn how it works and how to win. I believe that no matter where someone's life is at, we have the power to make radical shifts to create a life that truly honors us. I live for awakenings, so let's get to it, darlings. Hello, darlings. Welcome back to Love Lighthouse. Today, I am talking about a subject that might ruffle a few feathers. Okay, you know that I like to tell it like it is, and I like to talk about things that make us really think outside of the box. I love to have interesting conversations with people. I love when people plant seeds that make me look at the world in a different way, because I believe that so many things in our world are actually backwards. But here's a radical thought that I want us to go into today. Your children are more conscious than their teachers. Now I'll add, most likely, because I know there are some amazing, fascinating, wonderful, wise, conscious teachers out there. And I am not bagging on teachers. Teachers are amazing. And I am in awe of what they do. Honestly, I really am. My father was a school teacher and I love school teachers and I appreciate them. Something came up lately and recently that this subject has really been on my mind. And I want to share it with you because I think it's really important for us as parents to pay attention to when it comes to guiding our children. And I think there's this major disconnect with our children. A lot of kids are having a really hard time. You're always going to find kids that are doing fine, kids that are thriving, and kids that are having a really hard time. But I feel like when I look through the lens of a parent at our current school system and the ways that our children are being taught and guided these days, I feel like it's really challenging. And I don't think it will ever change until we become aware of it. I believe that life is a connect the dot game. And as soon as we become aware, we have all the power. Once we see, and then we can do something about it. But if we don't, it's just a bunch of jumbled numbers. If we never, pick up the pen and start doing the connect the dot game, then it's just chaos and we're unaware and there's no change. So recently I had a situation at my kids' school. My daughter came home and I am going to share a story that it was a challenging week, a really challenging week. So if you have little children in the car that you don't want to hear this story because it's kind of deep, I'm going to talk about something deep for a minute, then pop in your headphones. But what happened was our daughter, our sixth grader, she came home and, well, she texted me and she said, "Mom, I'm not feeling well." And she never does that. And so we went and picked her up from school. And she told us that while she was at school, that, she walked into the sixth grade hall and that there were multiple teachers crying. And all the kids start asking the teachers, "What's going on? What's wrong? Are you guys okay?" The students are trying to console the teachers. And no one would really say much. Teachers were like giving them just like little pieces of information. And finally, one of the teachers, I'm not sure who said this, because I tried to figure it out, but I'm not sure who said this, but one of the teachers told one of the kids that a child in sixth grade had committed suicide, but they would not confirm who. Oh boy. Wow. This was hard. So hard. Really, really heartbreaking situation. The way it was handled was really tricky though. It was really not good, because what this did was, now all of a sudden it spread like wildfire, and all these children start looking at empty desks and seeing, okay, my friend is absent. And now all of a sudden that person is a possibility. And so these children for hours were in distress, in worry, in fear, in concern, anxiety. And then I believe that because my daughter was in this, she started to feel sick. She feels emotions deeply, and she started to not feel well. And I think that that's why she texted us and wanted to come home. Well, for what, 10 hours, she was not, she didn't know who the child was. And then at 10 o'clock that night, she got word that it was a girl who she had been friends with in elementary school. They'd kind of grown apart. But she found out that it was one of her friends, and she cried and cried and cried for a couple hours. And it was really sad and hard. But the way that it was handled, I couldn't even, I just couldn't even wrap my brain around. And then I kept expecting there to be some communication, something coming from the school, some sort of email. There was never, ever, to this day, and this was weeks ago, no email. And I was just waiting to see how, you know, this would play out, and never got any communication. So the following week, I ended up going in and asking if I could speak with the principal. And I sat down with her and I addressed what had happened the week before. And she was nice, she was kind, but I could tell that she wasn't understanding what I was saying and what I was asking. Because what I was asking was, don't you guys have some sort of protocol? I wasn't mad. I wasn't going in there to like light some pants on fire. I mean, I was just wanting to understand for future reference, even more so, that in the event that this were to happen again, unfortunately, hopefully it doesn't, but if it were, could we learn from this experience and do it differently and more supportive for the children in the future? And as I'm talking, I'm realizing that I'm just not, like, she's just not understanding me. She's not getting it. I'm telling her the effect that this had on my child and her friends. And I can only imagine all the other children that it affected. And she just kept saying how great all the teachers were. And I said, I understand that they're great, right? I get that they are great. And I also get that they're human, and that that has to be so hard, so hard. They're also the leaders of our children. And so I understand finding out this information behind closed doors, having a really good cry, and then taking a deep breath and stepping into your classroom in power. And if they were not going to tell the children who the child was, then to not even mention it, because that was only inducing fear for the children. And so I started thinking about how many times our children are being guided by its opposite. Like the kids were literally consoling the teachers that day and like making sure the teachers were okay and trying to help them. And I feel like, you know, I talk about how our world is set up to, the more I've gone on this journey of awakening to who I really am, the more I realize, first of all, I don't know. The more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. And then the more I learn, the more I realize that our world is, it's set up as like an opposites game. And so it's almost like all the stuff we've been told is true is actually the opposite. And the longer, because one of those points is that we are told, you know, or we have an idea, we're not necessarily told, but we have an idea that the longer someone's on the planet, the older and wiser they get, right? And by me, from what I've observed, and again, this is, I'm saying generally speaking, there of course are some very older, wiser, conscious human beings that have gone on a journey, and the longer they're on the planet, the more in line with the truth of who they really are comes into play, and that's their journey. I don't think that's the average journey. I think the average journey is a human or a soul comes into a human body. They incarnate into a human body, and the longer, and they're in truth, they're in alignment with who they really are at that point. But the longer they walk into the world, the longer they walk on the planet and into the ways of the world, the further from the truth they get. I think that's actually more common and more general than the other. And so, what does that mean? Well, it means that, you know, children, because they are younger and they've been on the planet less and they've been tainted less and they've had less traumas and less stories attached to them and less time to be conditioned and programmed, then they are usually more in line with the truth of who they are. They're more kind. They're more compassionate. They're more caring and open-hearted and free-spirited and wise and more in line with their consciousness than their teachers. Crazy, right? Wow. How have I never thought about this before? I mean, I have children that are, my oldest is 25, and I never thought about this before. I drop her off at school and I played the whole game of, you know, the Western education system, where I didn't think about it. It was like, okay, cool. You know, do you like your teacher? Is she nice? Okay, nice. Let's go. Let's, you know, get on down the road. Now I think of it in a very different way. And you might be thinking, because I think about this myself, but you might be thinking, well, Jen, if you don't agree with the school system, or you don't think it's great, or you don't think it's supportive, then why are you kids in the school system? And that's a hard one, because it's part of the idea of, I believe that our world is going on a journey. I believe that we are awakening. I believe that we are evolving. And I like to be a part of that. I did take my kids out of school for 2 years, and it wasn't ideal. I'm not the best homeschool teacher. I will be the first to admit that. I didn't feel like I was really giving them what they, I didn't feel like they, I was really giving them what they needed. Do I feel like the school system is giving them what they need? No. And do I see pros and cons to it? Yes, definitely. I also believe that we can't live in a bubble and just be like, oh my gosh, that's not perfect, so I'm going to stay away from it. I believe that we can go and we can shine our light, and we can project our positive energy into spaces and places and create change. And so that's why I like to talk about it. That's why I like to plant these seeds with other parents, to get them to see things differently and to look at those things that I feel like have been off base, that we have put so much weight on, and to get us to look at it differently together as a team. And I think that together is where we will evolve as a community. It's really about that. Because I mean, I spent so much of my life in religion for the first 24 years of my life. I was born and raised into a religion, and I stuck to that until I was 24. And then I left that belief system. And one thing about certain belief systems is they do have that idea of like, ooh, if it's not what I want, then I got to stay away from it. Then I got to be over here and living in a bubble. And I don't think that's really, really honoring us. And I also really care about all the children, not just my children in the school system. I have two children left that are still in school. But I care about all of the kids in our world, and I care about the future generations, and I care about our world, because really, essentially, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the future of our world. And another reason is because my kids are super, super social, and they want to be in the school system. They want to be there. And I talk to them about, they know how I feel about school. And I've talked to them about that I am going to be very aware of watching their emotions. And if I feel like it's emotionally unhealthy for them, then I will make a different plan, because that's my job as their mom. And with my husband, like, we both have said that we're going to be paying attention. And it's become part of our society for children to, it's like normal. It's normal. It's crazy, but it's normal now. When I say it's crazy, I don't mean crazy in the sense of mentally ill crazy, but it's heartbreaking that it is part of, it's normal for the self-harming, that that's just normal. It's like people don't even bat an eye at it anymore with my kids. Like, they're like, oh yeah, so-and-so does, they, so-and-so cuts, and so-and-so, they told me driving down the road the other day, they told me that this girl that they know stapled her leg 5 times the other day. And I'm like, what, why? That's my first question, is why? And they said, well, it's her way to self-harm. Just like, it's just like normal to them. Right. And so, something that we can't stop here. We can't accept that as normal. And also, children talking about suicide constantly, like, that is a very, very normal subject now. And that is not the world. That isn't how things were when I was growing up. And most likely you as well. I've talked to a lot of parents, and that wasn't part of our childhood. I didn't have any friend that I knew that committed suicide or that cut. I didn't even know about cutting. It wasn't even a thing when I was a child that I knew of. It wasn't in my world that I was aware of. And I coach a lot of teens and children. I coach with a lot of parents that I'm constantly talking about what's going on with their kids. And this is something that is very, very much a part of our world now. And I refuse to stop here. I believe that there is a massive separation that is causing a lot of issues and problems. And my approach is, I always want to say, well, why? What is happening? Let's get to the root of the pain, the sadness, the dysfunction that is causing these children to go that route. And so some of the things, and I think that it is a lot of it has to do with school, because school is a huge influence on our children. I mean, it's where they spend the majority, a vast majority of their waking hours is in school. And so, yes, the arrow is going to be pointed at school. It has to be on the list of what is happening there and how is that contributing to their sadness, their pain, and what can we do differently? And so one of the things that I think is, you know, for one is we have, I think that the bottom line, the biggest problem, and I could be wrong, and I am all ears. I love to hear back from others. I'd love comments in the comment section. I'd love for someone to DM me. I definitely do not have all the answers, but I do know this is something that we do. It needs to be tapping us on our shoulder or shaking us. And it is something that I believe that we can show up for our children and support them in such a better way. And we can really help them. And I'm not looking for us to absolve all the problems in the world, because we do live on a planet of duality, and that's what makes life interesting. And we all have our own journey. And I do respect the journey. And I don't believe that every child needs to be walking on sunshine. And I love that. Of course, that is more their innate truth, but, and their innate essence. But I also realize that, you know, sometimes you are meant to go on that journey and be in sadness. When I was 11 years old, something very traumatic happened to me. And I've shared that in other episodes. And I was in sadness. I was in grief. I was in a very, a place of like very low self-worth. And I believe that I was meant to be in that space at that time. I do. And I don't regret it. I'm grateful for that, because it was my training. It prepared me to do my life's work, and I needed to go through that experience. I believe that. So I'm not saying that everything needs to be perfect, but I also believe that when you're looking at the numbers of incidents and parts of our children's culture that has just now become mainstream and normal, I refuse to accept that. I refuse to accept that our children are, that self-harming is just part of their world, and that we don't bat an eye at it. I'm not saying that anybody listening doesn't bat an eye at it, but by my observation, listening to kids, I feel like they don't bat an eye at it. They're just like, oh yeah, so-and-so does this and so-and-so does that. And it's just part of their world. So I think that I remember having years ago, in fact, probably for a good, oh boy, over 10 years, I recognized that I would get annoyed. I would get so annoyed at parent-teacher conference. And I remember sitting there having like this feeling of like being agitated. Like I just wanted to get up and get out of there. And I hadn't had that before. Before it was like, oh, I'm here. I want to hear about how they're doing when it compares to other kids, and show me all of the percentages and the, you know, where do they line up with it when it comes to the other kids? And I remember feeling like I liked that before. I wanted to know, is my kid smart? Is my kid doing well? Is my kid, you know, at the top? And it's probably just because of my own journey of letting go of things that just don't really define us, that don't really matter. On my own journey, things that I had put so much weight on of my own self-worth that I had finally, you know, I'd gone on a journey and I was letting these labels go myself. And so then sitting there listening to a teacher at some point 10 years ago talk about where my children, where my son or my daughter lined up compared to the other kids and what their percentage was and whether they were an A, B, C, D, or F. It was like, this is annoying to me because this is not who they really are. And we are putting so much weight on what that letter says on that paper. And I started to look at things differently. And I remember asking my husband and saying, you know, this is like something's feeling like really, it doesn't feel good to me to go and listen to these teachers analyze not just my children, but all the children. Like, it was almost like I felt like icky sitting there with my kid, listening to this teacher pointing at this paper saying that this is defining them. And I didn't like it because I know there's so much more than their labels. There's so much more. And if their brain doesn't understand numbers, because that's not necessarily their gifts, it doesn't mean anything. Seriously, nothing. It means nothing. I have a son who is, he's so amazing. And I know we all think this. If you're a good parent, we all think this about our children. We think our children are amazing because they are, right? Every human is amazing. My son, who's in his 20s, I remember when he was a kid and he was going to school in the regular school system, and he was miserable in the school system. He was like, he hated school. He hated it. He did not like the traditional school system. And he was in middle school. And I knew that if I didn't figure out a different plan for him, then it was really, really affecting his emotional health. And I could see that. And I could see that his talents were not Western world educational school system. Our school system is made for a certain kind of kid to succeed. He is creative and talented, musically talented, and he's an artist, and he's just as amazing as someone who gets straight A's with science and math. But he wasn't interested in those things, and that he struggled in those areas. And so I knew as his mother that I had to find a different route for him, because he was getting labeled, as he was putting labels on himself of like, you know, school sucks, I'm not smart, I'm going to fail. And I remember thinking, no way, this kid is, he's amazing. And I need to put him in a supportive environment that sees his gifts, that sees how amazing he is, that they can reflect that back to him. Because if our children are submersed and they're bathing in energy of adults and, you know, fellow students that are looking at them like losers or making them feel like they're a failure, what is that going to do to them? It's not going to support them. And so I found this performing arts school. And honestly, I have to say, at the time I was like, holy cow, I hope I'm doing what's right. Because, you know, when I would go to this school, it was like the school of misfit toys. It was like these kids all of a sudden could, I mean, they had, you know, all the colors of hair and all the piercings and all the tattoos and all of the things. And very different than the traditional school system. And I remember thinking, like, I hope I'm doing the right thing by putting him in this school. And I felt like I was, but I was just getting in tune to listen, actually listening to my intuition. And now I ask him, I say, what do you feel like would have happened had I kept you in the traditional school system? And he goes, oh my gosh, Mom, I would have been so depressed. And I believe that. I believe that that's what I saw. That was the route he was on. I mean, he would get, you know, brought into the principal's office because he wore a hat to school, a baseball cap to school, or, you know, he wanted to be listening to his music. And so he'd put sneak his headphones through his sweatshirt and have one in his ear. And it'd be like, oh, I see that you're in trouble. Go to the principal's office. And so I remember at the time being like, seriously, I have to come to the school to get a hat. Like, I have more important things to do, people. And so when he went to the tradition, or when he went to this fine arts school, now he was in his element because he was with actors and musicians and dancers and people that really celebrated creativity. And I'll never forget the day that we went to his graduation. And I got to listen to all of these amazing teachers that could see outside of the rigid lines. They could see these children in their magnificence, regardless of what was written on that paper, regardless of that letter, that percentage that they got on a test. These are teachers that were able to support these children with their talents and their creativity, and listening to them give accolades to all these graduates. I then knew, after 3 years, I then knew I had made the right choice. So yeah, if your child is struggling or challenged in the traditional school system, I encourage you to look at things differently. And I encourage you to see whether maybe they need a different route. And I'm not saying every child needs to go to a fine arts school. My older daughter, she went to the traditional the traditional school system, and she loved it. She was involved in color guard. That was her experience, and she needed that experience, and that was what was best for her. But for our son, we had to make a different plan. And I think that our idea of one size fits all is not working. And I think that that is really, really harming our children. So being able to see their talents and their gifts, and then putting them in a supportive environment for that, that is what we need to do with our kids. You know, teaching our children that they need to know that who they are, who are they without their fleeting labels that are put on them by us, by society, by themselves, by the world? Who are they? Those labels are just fleeting. So if they have this idea that they're the jock, they're the athlete, they're the star football player, what happens when they lose a game? What happens when they injure their leg and they can't play football anymore? They lose their identity. What happens when their label is they're beautiful, they're physically beautiful? Now, there's nothing wrong with saying you're an awesome football player and you're a beautiful girl or a handsome boy or a beautiful boy or whatever you want to say, right? There's nothing wrong with those labels. But underneath that, because if we are only putting all of the attention on the fleeting labels, because you all know, think of someone who was the coolest person in, you know, they were the most popular in high school. They were the prettiest. They were, you know, the most handsome, the most best looking, whatever. What happens when they got older and they started to lose their looks? So many, like, let's say a woman, right? Let's say she was always the prettiest woman in school. So many of those women, their whole identity is in their outward beauty. and they don't know who they really are underneath. And so when they get older, it's hard for them. They don't know what to do. They like do all this stuff to themselves, inject themselves and hurt themselves and go through all of these crazy surgeries, or, you know, work out for 5 hours a day or whatever they do, because they're trying so hard to hang on to that identity that is fleeting. It's going to go one day. You're going to get wrinkles. You're going to get gray hair. It's okay. It's okay. Because if you really know who you are underneath all that, then those labels can come. You can enjoy those labels while they're here, and then they can go, and you can still enjoy your life because you know who you are. And the truth is that underneath that all, we are all divine consciousness. We are divine love. We are light. We are loved and adored beyond measure. And if you can help your children know that no matter what outside of them, they still have their worth. They don't have to do anything. I'm not talking about the religion side of this, like the religion God that's like, oh, you have to do A, B, C, D, E, F, all the way to Z in order to be worthy to go to heaven one day. I don't mean that. I don't mean that. I mean right here, right now, child, darling, whoever you're speaking with, whatever age your child is, and I'm talking to you too, right here, right now, no matter what you've done in your life, no matter what mistakes you think you've made, no matter all the points you've put up on the board against yourself, you, not your labels, let them all fall to the ground. Let them burn. And know that you matter more than you can ever imagine, and that you are divine love channeled into a human body to have your own experience, to experience contrast. But you're a creator, and that you're worthy and loved and adored beyond measure. That's it. So this is, I know, an ongoing conversation. There's so much to this, but I hope that I planted some powerful seeds for you today to stop comparing your child to Billy and Sue and Mary, and what are they doing? And are they amazing? And your child, you know, your child has some missing assignments. I want my kids. Of course, I want my kids. And I think it's great for children to learn a schedule. It's great for them to learn to show up, to do their best, to not just screw around, right? But are they kind? Are they loving? Are they good to themselves? Are they good to others? Do they know who they are? Those things, those are at the top of the list. And the grades are okay, cool. Like, show up and do your work. If you're going to go to school, traditional school system, then play the game and do the things. But the importance is down here when it comes to what really matters in life. And I think that these children have so much pressure, and they're looking to people to guide them. It's like the blind leading the blind. And I feel like if you can go on a journey, and there's so many times where parents are like, well, how am I going to teach my child to know their worth if I don't know my worth? And that's a great question, because that is true. You've got to go on a journey first, and you have to remember your worth. You can tell your child all day long how magnificent they are, how amazing they are. But if you do not believe that about yourself, they will see through it. They're so smart. They will see through it, and they will feel it, and they'll be like, I'm not listening to you. You don't know your worth. So why are you telling me to know mine? Parents must walk the walk, because they can see through it. So if you don't know who you are, if you feel like you have a warped sense of self-worth, if you have a lot of work to do, then you're listening to this for a reason. Reach out to me. I would love to go on a journey with you and guide you. And the blessing that is for not only you, but your entire family, because then we can truly guide our children. But we must do the work first. So thank you for being here with me today. I love this conversation. I love talking about things that matter. If you and I are not friends on social media, then reach out to me. Find me on social media. I'm on Instagram and Facebook and all the things just under Jen Suliafu. And I also have a group that I have for Awakening. It's called Awakening, and it's because it is exactly about, I am very clear that my purpose here on planet Earth is to help people awaken to the truth of who they really are. And that is something that I've been on that journey since I was 33 years old. So for 13, 14 years now, I've been on my own journey. I had some profound things that happened to help awaken me. I had a spiritual awakening, and then it's come in layers. And I continue to be on this journey to awaken. And I'm continually wowed in life. It's so amazing and so fun. But I am on a journey, and as I go, the happier I get and the more peace I get. And I like to share that with people. So if you want to come be a part of my group, then come check it out. You do not have to be on camera. I'm not going to put you in the hot seat and say, hey, tell us all your dirt. It's just something that is a community, and it has a profound effect on people's lives to support you and love you and honor you on your own spiritual journey. And so I have that. And then I also have one-on-one coaching. So if you are interested in either of those, reach out to me. So have a fabulous week. Much love. Bye for now. Do you have a coach? I would love to take this journey with you to dive deep and start to shift those areas to create a life that truly honors you. I'll meet you on that bridge at whatever level you are ready, with either group or one-on-one coaching. You can check out my programs at jensuliafu.com/programs. Also, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and rate and review this show and give me your feedback. Also, please share this with your friends and family and be a lighthouse out in the world. Thanks for joining me.